John 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never read? Learn. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goest about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man? If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But, lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Every man went unto his own house. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Write it upon your heart today. Welcome, as always, to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Let the Bible Speak, Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I pray that today the Lord will work graciously to bless you. We are turning to this passage, John chapter 7, as we have read. And boy, was that ever a long reading. And I trust that you took in what was right in the scripture itself. I deliberately want to read that passage. Let it soak in and give you the full context of how the Lord Jesus on that day, he stood among the crowd of Jerusalem and said that if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now that thirst speaks of soul dissatisfaction. And if any man is really cheesed off with this world, has gotten to the point where they see no purpose, no hope, their lives is filled with despair, then that is the call of the Lord to your heart. If any man thirst, and I trust that today that you have a thirst for the word of the gospel, the word of life from the Savior. And of course, he will bless you. Stay tuned as we turn to this passage from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale to Let the Bible Speak.
Father, we give thee thanks for another time in your word, and we thank thee that the Bible speaks for itself. And so I pray that I will say nothing, add nothing, detract nothing from the word that will spoil the truth. But grant, O Lord, that we will cause the truth of God to shine and to work the will of God in every heart. For that, O Lord, we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I pray for a fresh infilling, and I pray for power to speak the word of God today, and that you will make it a sanctifying and indeed a saving power in the souls of every hearer today. Oh, answer for us. Work your will today. In Jesus' precious name, Amen. Amen. For those who have not been with us over these last Sunday evenings and following along in our tabernacle studies, we have been looking at the various items of furniture inside the tabernacle, as well as the structure, the coverings, and all the apparatus. We've been looking at the furniture on the inside that was made of wood covered in gold. And we drew from that the twofold nature of the Lord Jesus. Christ is divine. He is God. But he also is man. He is the God-man. Now, those three items in the holy place, that's the center area of the tabernacle, they are the lampstand, the table of showbread, and there is also the altar of incense. Now, we learned from those items as we took them as pictures of the Lord Jesus that the worshiper not only sits and gazes, but the worshiper feeds on the Lord Jesus, and especially the table of showbread. There were 12 loaves, one for each tribe. There was the frankincense. It was served up every day, and the priests actually ate and partook of that bread. Now, we are New Testament priests. We also feed on the Lord Jesus. And in John 6, we learned, he said, "I am the true bread that came down from heaven." And so Christian living is feeding on the Lord Jesus. And our devotions must not stop until we are actually being nourished on the living bread, the grace that is in the Lord Jesus. Here in John 7, we come to another aspect where Jesus said, "He that drinketh of me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, this is understood to be from that great event where Moses was to speak to the rock, and out of the rock flowed copious water, floods of water in the wilderness, which provided the needs of God's people. So we as Christians are to feed on the Lord Jesus, and we are to drink of him. And it speaks to the inner life of the Christian. This is not just externals. It's not rote. It's not merely outward show and ceremonies. It is out of the heart. And if Christianity has not given you a new heart, a new life, then we wonder, is it real? Is it Christianity at all? Or is it mere religion that is killing you? And if you look at the little tract on our table in the foyer, you'll see the blue leaflet, and it asks the question, is your religion killing you? No, your religion is to be new life. And we sang that hymn together, "Living for Jesus, Christ living in me." And that is the wonder of the Christian life. And it is not just poverty and emptiness, but it is the inner fullness. It was Nehemiah who said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And Christ was a joyful man. He was full of life and full of power, full of the wonder of life itself. Now, it is true that Jesus was a man of sorrows when it came to our redemption. He wept over Lazarus. He wept over the city of Jerusalem, but he never wept for himself. He never pitied himself. He was indeed the blessed man. We read in the Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man." Christ is the blessed man. And he also wrote the manual on the blessed life. When you read Matthew chapter 5, you read of the Beatitudes. and the nine blesseds. And so if you want to live a blessed life, a life of fullness, that is of joy and gladness and of true living peace in your own soul, the Lord is the one you must come to, and you must learn to feed off Him and to drink of Him. Now, it's not that this world will become a utopia. The Lord Jesus never taught that heaven is on earth. Rather, that we must on this earth go through much tribulation. This world is not our home. It's the wilderness for us here. But Christ gives water out of the rock, that He will supply every need of our souls. And this is the Christian life that we are to live. And I want to bring you to this text today, John 7 and verse 37, where it says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now, I want you to think about this cry. The Lord made a pronouncement, and we are told in that text that Jesus stood and cried. Literally, it was a shriek. It was no undercover operation. It was no secretive announcement. But rather, He stood in a public place, probably an elevated place, as all public speakers try to do, and He shouted with all His human voice, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." Now, the time of His cry is very significant. It was at the closing hour of this Feast of Tabernacles. And the people had been for a week going through all the ceremonies of Jewish religion. And this was the final hour. Indeed, the people were dispersing, and it was time to go home. They had gone through all the trappings and the demands of this religious feast in the city of Jerusalem, and it was all over. But Christ noticed something, that the people were not satisfied, and He cried out, "If any man thirst." The informed Christian cannot but see the typology. The rock which Moses spoke to and later struck wrongly, but out of that rock flowed water. And here Christ is saying, "He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, don't let the crudeness of the term belly throw you your thinking. Let's get over that. It simply means out of your inner life. Sometimes the Bible speaks of your heart or your reins or your kidneys, even inner organs. And it is really speaking to the inner life of the Christian. And so you will see the timing of it, the energy by which the Lord cried out. He wanted everyone to hear. He wanted this announcement to go out to each one far and wide. This was no slip of the tongue. It was no half-hearted invitation, but He intended for all to hear. The Lord never held back the invitation of the gospel. And though He had come into the world to do the will of the Father, to live, die, and rise again for all those whom the Father gave Him, yet He presented the gospel to all men. And He commanded His disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so our Calvinism never gets in the way of our evangelism. And this gospel is to all who will hear. All need to know the grace that is in the Lord Jesus, and all who come are received. And so there is power in the life of the gospel to save all. Now, the need of this cry was really the emptiness of the Jewish religion. Over the generations, over the hierarchy of Judaism, came an emptiness. It was a mere tradition. It was dry as sawdust. It was unsatisfying, and it caused people nothing but to be hardened in heart and to be miserable in heart. But when the Lord spoke, he spoke of thirst, and that expressed the deep inner need. Now, when you're thirsty, you're all consumed. When you are really, really thirsty, you can't think, you can't walk, you can't work. Your whole body feels like closing down. But here the Lord was speaking, of course, about soul thirst. Those that were seeking satisfaction, longing for something for their souls that would give them life, but they weren't finding it. And these people were in deep need. Now, many today are in deep spiritual need. There are many that live on the verge of suicide. Now, we read all the times the statistics of suicides, and they're horrendous. Across the board, professional people, older people, middle-aged people, young people, they take their lives. They come to a point where life is so empty, so unfulfilling that there's nothing to live for, and they think that they can escape by just ending it all. Now, the Bible warns us of that. Is a man better off when he's dead? Only if he's a Christian, of course. Only if he's redeemed and going to heaven. But there are many youth who cannot find their way. They buckle under the pressures of life. They crash and they fall for spurious hopes. And they try it all. Alcohol, drugs, vice, all the peer pressure that comes upon them just crushes them, and it drives them to deep, deep despair. I think we're living in a nation where there's a generation growing up that are in that very category. But middle-aged life as well presents its own difficulties. I remember sitting in the back of a car talking with Dr. Paisley. And we were talking about someone, and he asked me his age, and I said, oh, he's somewhere in his 40s. And he explained to me that that's a very dangerous point in life. It's a life when you have gotten so far, and you feel the failure of the world, unable to realize your own dreams. And in middle age, you see the things of life through different lenses. You do as much looking backward as you do forward. You smart from many of life's disappointments. When you're younger, you haven't had that experience. You think that everything will work out for you, and you will never get into that groove or into that pit of despair. But in middle age, you stop dreaming, and you hit the hard road of reality as never before. You lose your youthful energy, and the grind of life begins to wear you down. And you become overwhelmed, and you wonder, will I ever succeed? Will I ever get through this? And some are gripped with fear and even regret. Some lose the luster of life, and they conclude, why bother? And so they resort to death, sorrow, failure, folly, and a spirit of darkness clouds in. And then life is bitter rather than sweet. And it would be easy to lose your love of life. As the Lord Jesus looked on that day at the crowd in the city of Jerusalem, he not only saw what was on men and women's faces, but he knew what was in their hearts. And he said these words, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What did he mean? What was he offering? For the Christian, every stage in life brings change, but it is for good. We believe in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That's the Christian. Those that are called, those that have found the purpose of the Christian life, living for God, living for his glory. No longer living for self and your own little pity party. No longer living for your flesh and the lusts of it and the gratification of the flesh of this old world. But living now in the kingdom, and the kingdom is within you. We learn to roll our soul's burdens on the Lord. And oh, what a blessing that is. I would love to see the smiling faces of every Christian here right now. I have learned to roll my burdens, the burdens of life, upon the Lord. Just as the Lord Peter said, casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. What a difference! What a diametrical way to live from the way of despair. If any man thirst. I want you to notice the wideness of this cry and invitation. If any man thirst. Here's a word for everyone in that crowd. And the Lord was dealing with individuals. If anyone. Now, the Jews were rabidly obsessed in excluding Gentiles and anyone else that were not of their tribe or of their lineage. They took delight in excluding. But Christ invited all in that cry that he made. And he announced the good news of the gospel to all. And of course, when we get to the book of Revelation, we find that the church is made up of every tribe, nation, people, and tongue. The church is international. The church is for all who will come. Christ invites all to come right unto him. And so we have a message here today for the despairing. No matter what your background, no matter what has led you to the point of despair and emptiness, Jesus, the Son of God, invites you to receive life, spiritual life, from him. I pray that the Lord will use this word to call you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need this water of life from the Lord Jesus, and he is the giver. I cannot give it to you. No preacher, pastor, priest, nor pope can give it to you. Only the Lord Jesus himself. And so you must come to him in prayer and ask the Lord to save your soul. Do not delay. Do not put this off, but come immediately. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. If I can help, give me a call. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible. Go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040, and I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email, let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you
through his word.